And just to be part of our worship, the worship here today, and wanting more than anything else to affirm, am I too far forward, or wanting to affirm what Rosie has already shared with us today, that our God is a God of hope. And as we leave here this morning, that more than anything else, that you may know that the God that we worship is a God who continues to fill us with joy and peace as we put our trust in him, and that you may overflow with hope by the power of his Spirit. That's my longing and that's my prayer for each of you today. Let's pray. Father, we come this morning and we acknowledge that you are the God of hope in the midst of all that is occurring around us. Lord, help us to rest in you at the beginning of this new year, to trust you, and Lord, to set our eyes upon you. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been really lovely over these last 12 months to connect with your pastor, Pastor Dan, and to be able to catch up. We've been catching up probably every 6-8 weeks for coffee, and because when I first heard that Dan had been involved in an international church in Indonesia, and I wanted to pick his brains, I really did, because I saw so much relevance in what he was doing and had done. And then to in my role is supporting and resourcing our language other than English churches and congregations here in South Australia. And then when I heard that Dan was picking up a role here at Norton Summit, I was really, really excited and really encouraged, and just so thankful to God as we look to the journey into the future for Dan and the journey into the future for Norton Summit Baptist. In very much what I wanted to share with you this morning picks up a little bit of what Rosie's been already sharing with us today, and I trust that we'll see that connecting together, and that we will go from here with our eyes even more fixed upon Jesus, and also to know that our God, he can be trusted. He can be trusted in this coming year. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, whether it's on your phones or printed copies, would you turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, Philippians 3 verses 10 to 14. I'd like to read to you beginning at verse 10. As Paul says this, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Wow. The first Sunday of a new year, 2022. 2021 has been so much, as we've heard over and over again, just like 2020, very much an unprecedented year. I think that's the term that continues to be used. So we reflect back over these last 12 months. Began with that incredible, shocking assault on Western democracy that occurred in the US. There's this continuing global pandemic. At that stage, we're talking about the Delta variant. We're involved in ongoing lockdowns, closed borders, and the tragic, tragic loss of life. There was a coup in Myanmar. The withdrawal of UN forces from Afghanistan, leaving the country in the hands of the Taliban. There was the landing of the robotic rover on Mars and the beginning of space tourism, with both Elon Musk and Richard Branson jetting off into space. Then we heard of the death of Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh. Derek Chauvin was put on trial, convicted for the murder of George Floyd. The miraculous recovery, and you probably remember this, was almost the most encouraging news of last year, when four-year-old Cleo Smith was recovered in Western Australia after being abducted 18 days earlier from the camping ground near Carnarvon. And then finishing the year with the identifying of the Omicron variant, the opening up of borders, the relaxing of regulations, the long queues at COVID testing sites, the politics of mandatory vaccinations, and wondering what is it going to be like living with COVID into the future. In some ways, Friday night, there was a collective sigh of relief as we'd come to the end of 2021, but a real sense of apprehension as the clock counted down to midnight. What is this year going to bring us? What is it going to bring to us? But set against that, set against all that we are feeling and experiencing, we still have, as Rosie has already reminded us this morning, and even in the songs that we've sung, we still have so much to give thanks to God. If you haven't already done so, even in those few moments that were given earlier in the service, it is good to stop and to pause and to listen and to be able to express our gratitude to God. Let me encourage you, even over the next few days, that you might take the opportunity to pick up what you've shared and what you've experienced this morning, to pick that up and to spend time with God in thanksgiving. In a sense, yesterday was just another day on our calendars, but breaks, beginnings and changes, whether it is simply the end of one year, the beginning of another, it does have an attraction. Personally, I find them important. I find it important for me to be able to stop, to take stock of where I've come from, and to reflect upon and to think about where I'm going. For others, those doing that may seem strange, but then other people will find it helpful. But as I reflect back on 2021, the most important question that I believe I need to ask myself, and a question I'd like to put out to you this morning, is how have I grown in the past year? How have I grown in the past year? And what possibilities does this new year of 2022 hold? How have I grown in the past 12 months? And what possibilities does this new year of 2022 hold? You see, in following King Jesus, we cannot stay the same. Jim Rohn, the American entrepreneur, once said, "You are who you hang out with the most. You are who you hang out with the most." And this hypothesis has even been extended to physical appearance. You know, elderly married couples or even pets and their owners can begin to look like each other after years of hanging out together. Well, so they say. You'll have to test that theory out for yourselves. But you are who you hang out with the most. You see, if we hang out with King Jesus, people are going to notice it. They will see the difference in your life and in my life. Being a Christian is not simply about acquiring knowledge or a set of skills for ministry. Yes, those things are important. But being a Christian is primarily about transformation. It is about change. It is about dying to self that Jesus can live more fully within us. And that's a work of God's Spirit. It's a work of God's Spirit as we draw near to Him, as we spend time with Him. You see, regardless of which decade we may be in our lives at present, whether we're living in our first decade, whether we're living in our seventh or eighth decade, I won't say ninth because I'm not sure. But is there a stirring? Is there a stirring to be more like Jesus? Are you being drawn? Are you being invited into a greater level of intimacy? To spend time in worship, to spend time in prayer, to spend time in the scriptures, to spend time serving others. If that stirring is there within you, no matter what age you are, praise God that that doesn't originate within yourself. It is a work of God's Spirit within you. You see, on our own, we will always want to run from God. So if you're being invited into a greater level of intimacy, praise God, that is God at work in your life. And we can celebrate that. And that was Paul's journey. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi as an older man. You know, it was possibly only maybe 3 months or so from his death. Paul was coming to the end of his ministry, the end of his life here on earth. And yet in Philippians 3 and verse 10, he says, "I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. I want to go on knowing Christ." This is the Apostle Paul saying, "I haven't yet arrived. I haven't made it. I really want more than anything else to know Christ." Wow. What a goal for us for 2022. God, would you so awaken a desire within us to know you even more intimately in this coming year? In all that we do, in all the ways that we serve, that this would flow out of an encounter, flow out of a relationship with you. You see, over the years, we can acquire a set of skills. We can acquire knowledge. And you know, at times, in what we do can simply flow out of that knowledge and those skills. But Paul is calling us here back, that all we do flows out of an encounter, an ongoing relationship with Jesus. So having closed the curtain on 2021, and as we look to this new year, let me share with you hopefully two things that will be helpful to us on that journey. First of all, in the kingdom of God, there are no extraordinary people. There are only ordinary, fallible people who serve an extraordinary God. Just cast your mind back for a moment on some of the heroes of our faith. Now, people like Abraham and Moses and David and Peter and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, every single one of them were ordinary, fallible people. Think, for example, of Abraham, who passed his wife off as his sister so that he would not be killed. And he does that not once, but twice. Even Abraham was not prepared to trust God in that situation. Think of Moses. In a fit of revenge, he lashes out and he kills a man. Think of David, who commits adultery with Bathsheba, then arranges to have her husband killed. Think of Peter, who even denies knowing Jesus. Think of the sons of Zebedee, James and John, who are arguing over who should sit at the right hand of Jesus. All of us, including these heroes of our faith, are broken people. We're all broken people. Living in a broken world, all of us are scarred by sin. And we even have the Apostle Paul saying here in Philippians 4, I haven't yet arrived. As ordinary people, God has an extraordinary plan for our lives. You know, not one of us sitting here this morning can say, well, I'm just. Be encouraged. Be encouraged if you feel like you are a failure. Be encouraged if you feel like you are constantly struggling, because that's the way it's always been with God's people. So, secondly, following King Jesus has been and will always be a journey. It's a journey that will in fact take us the rest of our lives. There's an old song that we used to sing which was significant and continues to be significant for me, and has words, and I'm not going to try and sing it to you this morning. He has brought us this far by his grace. He has led us by fire and by cloud. He will bring us to Zion to look on his face. Oh blessed be God. And it's a song that reminds me of this journey that we are on. There's always, always more. Always more for each and every one of us, even in this coming year of 2022. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, Paul writes, and we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are, you are, being transformed from one degree of glory to another. through His Spirit. On that journey, there are several keys. And I'd like to just dip into three of those keys that we find in the passage which I read to you. In verse 13, it says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead." Forgetting what lies behind. You see, holding onto the past or allowing the past to hold on to us can leave us crippled. I'm sure many of you know of Andrew McDonough and his Lost Sheep books, series of children's books. I love reading children's books because I can understand children's books, let alone adult books. But Andrew, in his book, Jed and Roy McCoy, tells the story of two shepherds watching over their sheep on that first Christmas Eve. The sheep are all snuggled up together. They're fast asleep. But Jed and Roy are wide awake, glaring at each other across the paddock. If you ask Jed what the problem was, he would say, "Well, that rat bag Roy keeps rustling my sheep. Why, just the other day, 25 years ago, he stole my prize ewe. I did not see him, but the wolf print footprints were a dead giveaway. Only Roy would be sneaky enough to wear wolf footprint shoes to cover his tracks. So fair's fair. I put my brand on some of his sheep and put rocks in his wool bale." Now, if you ask Roy what the problem was, he would say, "Well, that swamp snake Jed keeps frizzling my sheep. Why, just the other day, 22 years, 3 months and 4 days ago, he frizzled my best ram. Now, I knew it was Jed. Who else would sneak out into a thunderstorm and frizzle a ram to make it look like it was struck by lightning? So, fair's fair, I snapped his staff in two and put a scorpion in his bed. Something has happened, and it is tough to let go." You see, our memories can be our best friend or our greatest accuser. As we allow the past to hold on to us, our failures, our mistakes, that which has been done even against us, we can find ourselves stuck, not able to live in the present, let alone in the future. And we take on the posture of a victim, forgetting that on the cross, Jesus became the victim for us. Every single one of us are redeemed survivors. We are subjects of King Jesus. He has given to us a new life to live. Yes, we acknowledge what has happened to us. Yes, we acknowledge what even we have done. But we also declare and believe and acknowledge that we are daughters and sons of the living God. You see, taking on the posture of a victim makes our God a God of the past. The posture of a daughter or a son acknowledges that God is not only a God of the past, but is a God of the present and also a God of the future. So Paul wants us to forget what lies behind. Secondly, Paul says, "I press on. I strain forward." Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. There's an old preacher's story of a mother who, going into her son's bedroom one night, finds that he'd fallen out of bed and was lying on the floor. When she asked him what happened, he replied, "Well, I guess I stayed too close to where I'd got in. I guess I stayed too close to where I'd got in." And that's the trap for us. It's the trap for us as God's people, staying too close to where we have got in. And Paul says, press on. Press on. What will that look like for you to listen to Jesus' invitation to press on, to continue to know him, to follow him in this new year? What's that going to mean for you? It is listening. It's listening. It's responding to the stirrings of God in your life today. Even in that short moment that Rosie gave to us this morning, an opportunity just to reflect upon verses of Scripture. What was God saying to you? What was stirring in your heart? Maybe there's something there that God is wanting you to follow through on in this coming year. It means saying, Holy Spirit, I want to be available to you. I want to be available that you would continue to change me, continue to transform me. And so we have some keys on this journey that we are on into this coming year. To forget what lies behind, and secondly, to press on. And the third and final key, as we reflect on these verses and this journey into this new year, is in verse 14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What is the goal for this coming year? What is the goal? The goal is simply Jesus. The goal is simply Jesus. I'm told of another story. In a Christian primary school, a teacher once asked her class, who invented the iPhone? The little boy put up his hand from the back and says, I suppose it was Jesus again. And that's the point. It is Jesus again. He is our goal. In this coming year, let me encourage you to simply look to Jesus. If by the grace of God, you have made a few stumbling steps forward over these past 12 months, let me say, it's not about Norton Summit Baptist Church. It's not about any program. It's not even about a pastor or a small group leader. Instead, it is about King Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who saved us, the one who's forgiven us, the one who accepts us and loves us, the one who's journeying with us even through COVID, the one who by his Spirit is sending us out into mission in this broken world in which we live. And my question to each of you is, do you know King Jesus? Do you know King Jesus? Let me encourage you to look to him, to focus on him, to trust him. And God, by his Spirit, will continue to lead you, continue to awaken you more and more to his grace, his ways, his purposes, his love for you and his kingdom. So let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, in this coming year, we just say here this morning, come, Holy Spirit. Come and awaken within each of us a greater desire for you. Come and create within each of us a greater hunger for you, a thirst for you, a longing for prayer, for intimacy. Lord, to release your gifts afresh within us. Lord, show us where you want us to serve in your kingdom. Lord, because we say here this morning, we so much want more and more and more to be like Jesus. Lord, we want to be available to you. Available to you first in all that's unfolding. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.